listening to Female VC Lab, a podcast that showcases the journeys of female investors. My name is Barbara Bickham, and I am an award-winning CTO and VC that teaches companies and investors about emerging technology. I am sitting down with female VCs and investors to talk about their funds, how they invest, and how they make an impact.
Okay, so get this. We're diving deep into smart cities today.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, cities that use AI to predict like crazy weather.
Right.
Or even like let you have a say in how things are run.
Yeah.
Wild, right?
Oh, wild.
We've got a whole stack of notes here.
Okay.
From a CES 2025 panel.
Cool.
All about this stuff with experts in like weather forecasting and urban design and you name it.
It's a fascinating convergence of like all these different fields to try and, you know, make urban life better and tackle these, you know, really pressing issues.
Okay. So first up, extreme weather.
Okay.
Sheree Bockstein, she heads the weather company.
Right.
Painted a pretty intense picture of climate change leading to more hurricanes and floods.
Yeah.
Often in places you wouldn't expect.
Yeah.
Remember that hurricane that hit Asheville, North Carolina?
Oh, yeah.
Total curveball.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's where AI and urban design get really interesting. You can't just rely on what happened in the past anymore. You got to be prepared for events we haven't even seen before.
Like, how do you design a bridge that can withstand a windstorm that's never happened?
Yeah.
In recorded history.
Well, Bockstein talked about how AI can analyze tons of climate data to model those like what if scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of just looking at past weather patterns,
we can
use AI to basically create a crystal ball.
Right.
Predicting things way beyond what we've seen before.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Right. Yeah. So it's like AI is telling us, hey, you might want to reinforce that seawall because in 50 years, the storms here are going to be something else.
Exactly. Yeah. It's giving cities a chance to prepare for a future that's very different from the past.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just about urban design. It's also revolutionizing weather forecasting itself.
Okay.
Have you heard of probabilistic forecasting?
Oh, I've seen that term thrown around.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds really complex.
Yeah. So that's the deal with it. It's actually simpler than it sounds.
Okay.
Instead of just saying, you know, there's a 70% chance of rain tomorrow.
Right.
Probabilistic forecasting uses AI to run thousands of possible scenarios.
Okay.
So you might get a report that says, okay, there's a 60% chance of light rain, 25% chance it's a downpour, and 15% chance it stays dry.
Okay.
Way more information to work with.
So it's like getting a whole bunch of different weather reports at once.
Yeah.
And then figuring out which one is most likely.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And it lets cities do some like seriously smart planning.
Okay.
Think about emergency preparedness.
Right.
If you know there's even a small chance of a major flood, you can like pre-position resources, alert people in vulnerable areas, maybe even organize evacuations ahead of time.
Right.
Could save lives and tons of money.
Now that is some seriously smart city stuff. So AI is helping us design cities for the future, predict the weather better.
Yeah.
But what about the people actually living in these cities?
That's where the idea of a citizen-centric smart city comes in.
Right.
Think of it like this.
Mm.
You order something on Amazon.
Yeah.
It's seamless.
Right.
You get what you want when you want it.
Right.
Smart cities are aiming for that same user-friendly experience, but with things like city services, transportation, all that jazz.
So no more dealing with like clunky government websites.
Exactly.
Or waiting in line for hours to get a parking ticket.
Nadia Hansen, who is the CIO of Las Vegas.
Right.
Now she's at Salesforce. She talked about this.
Okay.
Imagine accessing all city services through one easy-to-use app.
Cool.
You need to report a pothole. Done.
Right.
You want to pay your property taxes. Boom. Done.
Yeah.
All in one place.
Sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, but it gets even cooler. The panel also talked about how things like AI and blockchain
right.
could actually let people participate in running the city,
mm-hmm.
like voting on how local taxes are spent.
Okay, yeah.
It's about giving citizens
right.
a direct say in things that impact their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara Bickham, she's a CTO and venture capital leader.
Okay.
She gave the example of using DAOs
right.
or decentralized autonomous organizations. Mm-hmm. You could actually vote on things like
yeah.
fixing that pothole or adding more green spaces.
Right.
It's like taking like power to the people new level.
Okay, I'm sold on the smart city thing.
Yeah.
Where do I sign up?
Well, hold on a second.
Okay.
It's not all smooth sailing.
Right.
One big hurdle is data.
Okay.
As Nadia Hansen and Barbara Bickham both pointed out,
mm-hmm.
cities collect mountains of data.
Yeah.
But it's often stuck in these, like, separate silos.
Right.
Making it hard to get a complete picture.
So it's like having all the pieces of a puzzle, but no way to put it together?
Precisely.
Yeah.
Hansen shared a funny story about this. When she was redesigning the Clark County website,
right.
she figured, oh, people are mostly going to be looking for marriage licenses, you know, Vegas, weddings.
It makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
What were people actually searching for?
I don't know. What?
Inmates in jail.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It just goes to show that our assumptions about data can be way off.
That's hilarious, but also it's kind of a problem if you're trying to build a smart city.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then there's the issue of standardization.
Right.
Prachi Vakharia, she's a strategic advisor for ARPA, pointed out that every city collects and manages data differently. It's mm-hmm. like trying to build a house
right.
where every contractor uses different measurements
yeah.
for inches and feet.
Totally.
Total chaos.
So before we even get to the fancy AI stuff,
yeah.
we need to make sure the data itself is sorted out.
Exactly.
Okay.
Vakharia gave the example of trying to create a national database of bike routes.
Yeah.
Sounds simple, right?
Yeah.
But because every city defines and maps those routes differently.
Oh, right.
It's a nightmare.
Oh, wow.
We need clear standards
okay.
for how data is collected, organized, and shared.
And it's not just about collecting new data. It's about dealing with the old stuff.
Yeah.
Vakharia shared a story
mm-hmm.
about needing maps of transit stations for a project in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
They got sent a Dropbox folder full of,
yeah.
get this,
okay.
PDFs from the 1970s.
No way.
You're kidding, right?
No joke.
Like bell bottoms and disco music era.
It's a huge task to digitize
right.
and update all this old data.
Yeah.
But it's essential if we want to build truly smart cities.
Okay, so we've got these data mountains, mm-hmm. standardization issues.
Yeah.
How do we even begin to tackle all this?
Well, that's where collaboration comes in.
Okay.
Specifically, public-private partnerships.
Makes sense. Governments have the data,
mm.
but companies often have the tech
yeah.
and the know-how to make sense of it all.
Right. And both Sherry Bockstein and Prachi Vakharia highlighted how these partnerships are already happening.
Cool.
The Weather Company, for example, works with government agencies like NOAA, universities, and even companies like NVIDIA. It's like creating a super brain trust to solve these complex problems.
Okay. I'm starting to see how this all fits together.
Yeah.
But even with all the fancy AI
mm-hmm.
and data sharing,
yeah.
at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
this is about people, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that raises a really important question.
Okay.
What's the role of human intelligence
right.
in a world increasingly shaped by AI?
We don't want to end up in some, like, sci-fi movie
right.
where robots are running everything
yeah.
and humans are just along for the ride.
No.
No, it's got to be a partnership, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The panel was very clear about that. The focus should be on human-AI collaboration, using the best of both worlds.
Hmm.
AI can analyze data at a scale we can only dream of.
Yeah.
But humans are still needed to interpret those results, make judgments, and ensure things are being done ethically.
So it's like having a, like, super-powered research assistant.
Yeah.
That can, like, crunch numbers and spot patterns.
Mm.
But ultimately, humans are still in charge.
Yeah, exactly. Barbara Bickham gave a great example of a company called Reliable
mm-hmm.
that uses both AI and human intelligence to tag data.
Oh, cool.
So it's not just about letting the algorithms run wild.
Right.
It's about having humans in the loop
okay.
to make sure things are accurate and fair.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But how do you get people on board with all of this?
Yeah.
I mean, AI can be a bit intimidating?
Well, that's where education and transparency come in. Uh-huh. Nadia Hansen emphasized the importance of training government employees on how to use AI effectively. Mm-hmm. But just as important is educating the public about AI.
Right.
What it is, what it can do.
Yeah.
What the potential risks are.
So it's not just about teaching people how to use the tools.
Right.
It's about giving them the knowledge and confidence mm-hmm. to be a part of the conversation about how AI shapes our lives.
Exactly. And there are some amazing resources out there already.
Oh, cool.
Companies like Google and Salesforce offer free online courses and tools to help people learn about AI.
Cool.
It's about empowering everyone to be a part of this technological revolution.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground here.
Yeah.
Before we dive into part two, mm-hmm. I'm curious, what were some of the broader AI trends that surprised the panel this year?
Oh, there were a few really interesting ones.
Okay.
Nadia Hansen was particularly struck by how quickly AI is becoming a part of everyday life, especially in education and HR.
It's true. It seems like everyone is using AI tools like ChatGPT these days.
Yeah.
Students are using it for their homework. Companies are using it to screen job candidates.
Right.
It's crazy how fast it's all happened.
That speed of adoption is both exciting and a little bit scary.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely something to think about.
It shows the incredible potential of AI.
Yeah.
But it also makes you wonder if we're moving too fast and if we've really thought through all the implications.
Okay. What other trends stood out to you?
Barbara Bickham talked about how CTOs are using AI. To like speed up the whole coding process.
Right.
Tasks that used to take weeks
mm-hmm.
can now be done in days thanks to AI tools.
Wow, that's incredible. Talk about a productivity boost.
Right.
But I guess it also makes you wonder about the future of jobs in tech.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that AI is going to disrupt a lot of industries.
Right.
And we need to be thinking about how to prepare for that.
Makes sense. Anything else that really jumped out at you?
Kachi Vakharia brought up an interesting challenge.
Okay.
That's particularly relevant to smart cities.
Mm-hmm.
The like sheer size of current AI models.
What do you mean by that?
Well, a lot of these cutting edge AI models are trained on absolutely massive data sets. Mm-hmm. That's great for things like image recognition or language processing.
Right.
But it can be a problem in fields where data is more limited.
So like if you're trying to use AI to like design a bridge or a new transportation system.
Exactly.
You might not have the same mountains of data to work with.
It's a challenge that researchers are working on.
Right.
But it highlights the fact that AI isn't a one-size-fits-all solution.
Right.
You know, we need to develop tools that can work effectively with smaller, more specialized data sets if we want to see AI's full potential in areas like infrastructure.
It's like you need the right tool for the job.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
A jackhammer might be great for like breaking up concrete.
Right.
But it's not going to be very helpful.
Yeah.
For building a delicate model airplane.
That's a great analogy. We need to make sure we're using the right AI tools for the right tasks.
Right.
And that means being mindful of the data requirements.
Okay. Lots to think about already.
Yeah.
I'm ready to jump into part two.
Okay.
And see what other insights this panel had to offer.
Let's dive in. Welcome back to our deep dive on smart cities and AI.
Yeah, it's amazing to think that we're on the cusp of seeing cities transform.
Right.
In ways we can only imagine a few years ago.
Absolutely.
It's like we're stepping into a sci-fi movie, but it's all happening in the real world.
Right.
We talked in the last segment about AI.
Yeah.
Helping with everything from weather prediction to citizen participation.
Right.
But let's get real for a second.
Yeah.
What about the potential downsides?
That's a crucial point.
Right.
All this talk about AI's potential can be really exciting.
Mm.
But we can't forget that it's a powerful tool that needs to be used responsibly. One big question that kept coming up during the panel discussion was the issue of trust.
Okay.
Like, how do we build AI systems that people can actually trust?
Right, right.
How do we make sure they're transparent and accountable?
I see what you mean. It's easy to get caught up in all the cool things that AI can do.
Yeah.
But we need to make sure it's being used ethically, especially when it comes to something as important as running a city.
Exactly. It's not just about building like quote unquote smart cities.
Right.
It's about building ethical smart cities.
Right.
And that means thinking carefully about things like fairness and bias.
Okay.
If AI systems are making decisions yep. that impact people's lives,
right.
we need to make sure those decisions aren't discriminatory
yeah.
or based on flawed data.
So, for example,
yeah.
if an AI system is being used to decide who gets access to affordable housing,
right.
we need to make sure it's not unfairly excluding certain groups of people.
Precisely. We need to make sure that the data used to train these systems is representative of the population
okay.
they're meant to serve.
Right.
And that the algorithms themselves aren't perpetuating existing inequalities.
Yeah.
This is especially important in a city setting where AI could be used for things like traffic management,
right.
law enforcement, even healthcare.
That's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah. So how do we make sure AI is being used ethically?
Do we need a whole new set of rules for how it's developed and used in cities?
That's something the panel discussed quite a bit.
Okay.
We need clear guidelines and regulations.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's also about having open conversations.
Right.
And involving everyone in the process.
Okay.
Not just like tech experts and government officials.
Right. It's got to be a conversation that includes everyday people too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Since they're the ones who will be most affected by how all this technology is used.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's actually one of the more hopeful aspects
right.
of this whole smart city movement.
Mm-hmm.
It has the potential
yeah.
to create more inclusive and democratic cities.
Right.
Where citizens have more say in how things are run.
So it's like instead of just complaining about problems,
right.
people can actually use technology to help solve those problems and make their communities better.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
It's about giving people the tools and the knowledge to be active participants in shaping the future of their cities.
Speaking of tools and knowledge,
yeah.
one thing that really struck me
yeah.
was Nadia Hansen's comment about the Amazonification of government services.
Oh, yeah.
It's a pretty catchy term.
Yeah.
What does she mean by that?
It's a provocative way of saying
okay.
that people are starting to expect the same level of convenience and personalization from government services
right.
that they get from companies like Amazon.
So if I can order a pizza
yeah.
and track its delivery in real time,
why shouldn't I be able to do the same thing when I'm like applying for a building permit?
Exactly. Citizens are used to seamless, user-friendly experiences in so many aspects of their lives.
Yeah.
And they're starting to demand the same from their government.
Let's be honest. Government websites and services
yeah.
have a reputation for being anything but user-friendly.
That's true, but things are changing.
Yeah.
And AI is playing a big role in that shift.
Right.
Imagine being able to access all city services through a single intuitive app,
right.
getting personalized recommendations
okay.
and updates based on your needs and preferences.
So instead of having to wade through like a maze
right.
of yeah. different websites and phone numbers,
uh-huh.
you have one central hub
yeah.
for everything you need.
Mm-hmm.
It's like having a personal assistant
right.
for all your city related stuff.
That's a great analogy. And it's not just about convenience.
Okay.
It's also about accessibility
right.
for people with disabilities.
Yeah.
Or for those who lack easy access to transportation or technology.
Right.
These AI-powered tools could be a game changer.
It's about leveling the playing field.
Uh-huh.
And making sure everyone has equal access to essential services,
mm.
regardless of their circumstances.
Exactly. Yeah. It's about using technology to make government more inclusive and responsive
okay.
to the needs of all its citizens.
But even with all these potential benefits,
yeah.
I can't help but think about the potential downsides.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what about privacy?
Oh, yeah.
If smart cities are collecting all this data about us,
right.
how do we know it's being used responsibly
right.
and not ending up in the wrong hands?
That's a huge concern.
Right.
And one that the panel addressed head on.
Okay.
Smart cities rely on data, no doubt.
Right.
But there needs to be a strong emphasis on data security and privacy.
Yeah.
We need clear rules about what data can be collected,
yeah.
how it can be used,
yeah.
and who has access to it.
So no more shadowy data brokers selling our personal information.
Exactly.
To the highest bidder.
Transparency and accountability are crucial.
Right.
Citizens should have the right to know what data is being collected about them.
Okay.
How it's being used.
Yeah.
And to opt out if they choose.
It's about putting citizens in control of their own data,
mm-hmm.
which is how it should be.
Right.
But even with the best intentions,
yeah.
I can see how AI systems could be used in ways that are discriminatory or unfair.
Mm-hmm.
We've all heard stories about algorithms that perpetuate bias,
mm-hmm.
even if it's unintentional.
That's another critical issue.
Right.
We need to be very careful about the data used to train AI systems
mm-hmm.
and make sure the algorithms themselves aren't reinforcing existing biases.
Right.
Imagine an AI-powered system that's yeah. used to evaluate job candidates.
Okay.
If that system is trained on data that reflects existing gender or racial biases in hiring,
right.
it could end up perpetuating those biases.
Right. Even if that's not the intention.
Even if that's not the intention.
That's scary.
Yeah.
It's like the algorithms could be baking in those biases
mm-hmm.
without anyone even realizing it.
Exactly. That's why we need diversity
okay.
in the teams developing these AI systems.
Right.
People from different backgrounds with different perspectives
yeah.
are more likely to spot potential problems
mm-hmm.
and make sure the technology is being developed and used fairly.
So it's not just about the code.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the people writing the code.
Precisely. And it's about having clear ethical guidelines and processes in place
right.
to ensure that AI is being developed and used responsibly.
Yeah.
It's a big challenge, but it's one we can't afford to ignore.
There's another potential elephant in the room, though.
Yeah.
Jobs.
Yeah.
If AI is automating all these tasks
mm-hmm.
and making things more efficient,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
won't that lead to massive job losses?
That's a valid concern.
Right.
And one that came up during the panel discussion. It's true that AI will automate many of the tasks
right.
that are currently done by humans.
Okay.
But it's not necessarily a zero-sum game.
So it's not as simple as robots taking over all the jobs.
Right. It's more nuanced than that.
All right.
Some jobs will inevitably be displaced.
Right.
But AI will also create new opportunities.
Okay.
Think about all the new jobs
yeah.
in fields like data science, yeah. AI development, mm-hmm. and AI ethics.
Like, we're not just replacing humans.
Mm-hmm.
We're changing the nature of work itself.
Exactly. And that requires us to be proactive
okay.
about things like education and job training.
Right.
We need to equip people with the skills they need to thrive in an AI-powered economy.
Makes sense. We need to be prepared for the changes that are coming.
Yeah.
And make sure people aren't left behind.
Right.
But there's another potential downside we haven't touched on yet.
Uh-oh.
Right. The possibility that AI could be misused.
Yeah.
Especially by governments that aren't exactly known for respecting human rights.
That's a chilling thought.
Right.
But it's a real concern.
Yeah.
AI can be a powerful tool
mm.
for surveillance and control.
Right.
In the wrong hands.
Yeah.
It could be used to track people's movements.
Right.
Suppress dissent.
Yeah.
Even predict and punish behavior before it happens.
Oh, wow.
It's like something out of a dystopian novel.
It's scary stuff. We need to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But how?
It's a complex issue.
Right.
But one of the key things is to advocate for democratic values.
Okay.
And human rights
mm.
in the development and deployment of AI.
Right.
We need to make sure AI is being used to empower people,
right.
not to control them.
So it's about building ethical safeguards
mm-hmm.
into the technology itself
mm-hmm.
and making sure it's being used in a way that respects individual freedoms.
Exactly. It's also about being aware of the potential for misuse.
Right.
And speaking out against it.
Okay.
It's about making sure that AI is being used to create a more just and equitable world, not to reinforce existing power structures.
Speaking of global challenges,
mm-hmm.
something else that really stuck with me from Sherry Backstein's talk
yeah.
was the importance of having a weather strategy for cities.
Oh, yeah.
It seems kind of obvious.
Right.
But I guess it's not something people always think about.
It's often overlooked.
Yeah.
But it's crucial.
Right.
Especially in the age of climate change,
mm-hmm.
extreme weather events
right.
are becoming more frequent and intense,
yeah.
and they can have a devastating impact on cities.
Floods, heat waves, hurricanes,
mm.
those things can disrupt transportation,
right.
damage infrastructure,
uh-huh.
even cost lives.
Absolutely.
So what does it mean for a city to have a weather strategy?
It means taking a proactive approach.
Oh,
to
right.
planning for and mitigating the impacts
right.
of extreme weather.
Hmm.
It's about thinking ahead
okay.
and being prepared for the worst case scenario.
So instead of just reacting to disasters after they happen,
yeah.
we're using technology and data
right.
to anticipate them
mm-hmm.
and minimize the damage.
Exactly. AI can play a huge role in this.
Okay.
We've already talked about how AI is being used to improve weather forecasting.
Right.
That information can be used to inform everything
yeah.
from urban design
mm-hmm.
to emergency response.
For example, if we know that a certain area is prone to flooding,
right,
we can design buildings and infrastructure
yeah.
that are more resilient to water damage.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we know a heat wave is coming,
yeah.
we can set up cooling centers and make sure vulnerable populations have access to resources.
Right. Well, it's about using data and technology
mm-hmm.
to make our cities safer and more resilient
yeah.
in the face of climate change.
It's like we're not just trying to outsmart the weather.
Right.
We're trying to work with it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
To live in harmony with nature,
mm-hmm.
even as it throws us some curveballs.
That's a great way to put it. It's about using our intelligence,
right.
both human and artificial,
yeah.
to adapt to a changing climate
mm-hmm.
and create a more sustainable future for our cities.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground in this part.
We have.
We've talked about trust,
mm-hmm.
ethics,
mm-hmm.
privacy jobs,
uh-huh.
authoritarian misuse,
right.
and even the weather.
Yeah.
My head is spinning.
I know.
But in a good way.
In a good way.
Right.
It's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
But it's all connected.
Hmm.
These are the complex and interconnected challenges we right. face as we enter the era of smart cities.
Well, in the next and final part,
mm-hmm.
we'll try to tie it all together
yeah.
and see what the experts had to say
okay.
about the future of smart cities and AI.
Let's do it.
Okay, so we're back for the final part of our deep dive into smart cities and AI.
It has been a wild ride.
It really has. It has been a fascinating
yeah.
journey so far, from predicting
mm-hmm.
like superstorms to reimagining how we interact with our
yes.
local government. I mean, we've
covered
a lot of ground here.
A lot.
And we've talked about the importance of trust,
mm-hmm.
the yeah. need for robust data systems, the potential impact on jobs,
right.
even the risks of AI being used for, you know, less than noble purposes.
Yeah.
But in this final part,
mm-hmm.
I kind of want to shift our focus to the future.
Okay, yeah.
What did our CES 2025 experts see as the like the key takeaways, like
right.
the big things we need to keep in mind as we kind of
right.
move forward?
Well, one thing that really resonated throughout the entire panel discussion
mm-hmm.
was the absolute importance of collaboration.
We touched on this a little before
yeah.
with public-private partnerships.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it goes even deeper than that.
It does. It's about breaking down silos. Not just between government
right.
and the private sector,
yeah.
but between different city departments, research
yeah.
institutions, community groups,
right.
and most importantly, citizens themselves.
So it's like everyone needs to be a part of the conversation, working together
right.
if we want to build cities that are truly smart and sustainable.
Absolutely.
Shared goals.
Yeah.
Open communication and a willingness to learn from each other.
And this leads into another kind of big takeaway,
yeah.
the need for a human-centered
yeah.
approach to AI development.
Absolutely.
Like technology is a tool. It should serve people,
yeah.
not the other way around.
Right. We can't just get caught up in the shiny new tech
right.
and forget about the human impact.
Exactly. We need to be mindful of the potential consequences of AI on, you know, jobs,
yeah.
privacy, equality, and just yeah. ensure that these systems are designed and implemented
yeah.
in a way that benefits all citizens,
right.
not just a select few.
It's about using technology to empower people, not to control or exploit them. Absolutely. And that brings us back to something we've mm-hmm. talked about a lot,
right.
education and transparency.
Right. Absolutely.
If we want people to trust and embrace AI,
yeah.
they need to understand it.
They need to understand how it works.
Right. We need to demystify these technologies,
mm-hmm.
make them accessible to everyone.
Yeah.
Not just like the tech elite.
Absolutely.
It's about providing clear information.
Yeah.
about how AI works, its potential benefits, and
yeah.
yes, its risks.
Its risks.
So that citizens can participate in the conversation
right.
about its role in society.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this brings me to what I think is like the most important takeaway of all.
Oh, yeah.
The future of smart cities isn't like preordained.
Right.
It's not like some inevitable outcome.
Yeah.
It's a feature that we're building right now.
Okay.
Through the choices we make.
Right.
Both individually and collectively.
So it's not just about the technology itself.
Yeah.
It's about the values we embed in that technology
yeah.
and how we choose to use it.
Do we want cities that are dominated by surveillance and control?
Right.
Where technology is used to limit individual freedoms?
Right.
Or do we want cities that are equitable, sustainable, and empower citizens to participate in shaping their own future?
Those are some pretty profound questions.
I know.
And it sounds like the answers depend on the actions we take today.
They do.
Yeah.
It's a responsibility we all share as individuals, as communities, as a global society. We need to be engaged,
right,
informed, and willing to ask tough questions about the role of technology in our lives.
So this is it.
This is it.
The end of our deep dive.
The end of the deep dive.
Into smart cities and AI. And I think it's safe to say we've just scratched the surface.
Oh, we have?
But hopefully this conversation has, you know, sparked some new ideas, maybe some critical thinking, and even a little bit of hope.
A little bit of hope.
Yeah, I know it has for me.
Yeah.
It's both exciting and a little daunting to think about all the possibilities that kind of lie ahead.
Lie ahead.
But one thing's for sure, the future is in our hands.
Yeah.
It's up to us to decide.
It is.
The kind of world we want to build.
Well said. So as you go about your day, think about the choices you make, both big and small, that are shaping the future of our cities.
What kind of world do you want to live in? And what role will you play in building it? That's something for all of us to ponder.
Until next time, keep those brains buzzing.
This episode is brought to you by Trail and Ventures. Find and invest in the next billion-dollar emerging tech company. Sign up for our exclusive content at https://trailyn.com to find out more. Find us on Apple, on Spotify, and on Google Podcasts. Thank you for listening.